We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, my audio children. Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 372. This is a very fun and exciting episode of the Nerdist Podcast, which I will explain in a second. But first, I would like to thank our sponsor for this episode,
Carbonite Online Backup. Hey, friend, are you a seldom backer-upper? Do you back yourself up, Katie?
Yes.
You do? I hope so, because you are basically the... You're the gatekeeper of this podcast thing that we're doing. So if you're not backing stuff up, Katie, we're in serious trouble. With Carbonite, your files are automatically and continually backed up. You never have to think about it. Who likes thinking? It's way overrated. Once you have Carbonite, a computer disaster is not a disaster, because that's a very harsh word, because you can back your files up, and then it's fine. Then you can be like, screw you, technology. I am already covered. And then your computer's like, oh, drats, you've won this round. And then it slowly drags itself out into the dumpster, which would deny you the ability to feel better by hurling your broken computer into a dumpster and out the window. That's where they take the power away from you. This is your better backup plan for home and small businesses. Carbonite plans start at $59 a year. Start your free trial today at Carbonite.com. Use the offer code Nerdist. 2 bonus months with purchase. Is it 1, Chris? No, 2! 2! Chris, you're hurting me. That's Carbonite.com. Use the offer code Nerdist. 2 bonus months with Nerdist.
This is a hostful episode plus. A hostful plus. Our pal Peter Farrelly dropped by to make a very special announcement and tell a couple of stories. So listen through. And then it was really crazy because Guillermo del Toro was downstairs at Meltdown doing a signing, so he just popped up. And then Guillermo and Peter kind of nerded out over each other. If you're a comedy nerd or a film nerd of any type, then you should really listen to this episode because Pete dropped some pretty insane stuff on us during the podcast. A big announcement. And also, I gotta say, I gotta go on record, Matt and Jonah were particularly funny this episode. Those two kids are always hilarious to me, but in this one, they stepped it up quite a bit. So hugs to the Sister Wives, hugs to Peter Farrelly, hugs to Guillermo del Toro, hugs to you, hugs to the planet, hugs to announcements, and hugs to the Nerdist Podcast, episode number 372.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Oh, he is. Yes, please. Have him come up and say hi.
Del Toro.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Friend of the show.
Guillermo's doing a little signing here.
Get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here.
I'm fucking serious.
Still want to go take him up on his offer to see the rain room.
Yeah. Oh,
a rain room.
Okay.
Welcome to a hostful episode of the Nerdist Podcast.
Not exactly.
Oh, wait a minute.
It's better.
Our friend, Peter Farrelly, has dropped by with a special announcement. But before we get to that, let's not get to the sex part right away.
The foreplay?
Yes.
I'm into it.
Yeah. I just want to stick it in. Can you stick it in?
Just stick it in.
It's in already.
Oh my god, I didn't feel a thing. Yeah. That's embarrassing for all of us.
This must not be big news.
Oh. I apologize.
How are you, man?
Good. How you been?
I'm good. Good. It's nice to see you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I was 10 minutes late. You always remember everything, and you're always on time.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but yeah, with you I am.
I appreciate that.
No, it's all right. I was just, you know, nothing going on. I'm going to dinner at Dan Tana's later on tonight.
Snazzy.
Nice. Yeah,
Tana's. You ever go there?
That's where Phil Spector was the night that ended up killing What's-Her-Face.
Yes. And
maybe.
That's where Belushi was on his last night.
Correct.
And also that's where there's a thing called, hold it, who's the other one? Spector, Belushi, and there was another
Lincoln, Abe Lincoln,
murder.
Blake was it Blake?
No, he was at
he was in the valley.
He was in the valley, but
of course he was.
There's a famous one, but anyway, they call it the chicken parm, the curse of the chicken parm, because they all got chicken parm that night.
Well, I mean, how can you resist their chicken parm?
It's fantastic, but it's not as good as the whitefish.
I've not had the whitefish.
The sautéed whitefish is the best. That's why I go there.
Antennas is great, but don't have the chicken parm.
Well, also, wasn't that where John Lennon and Harry Nilsson would go when they would get kicked out of the Troubadour?
Yeah,
they would get kicked out of the Troubadour for being too drunk, and then they just go into Dantana's.
Yeah, but there's lots of stories about people who, when they just before something bad happened, had the chicken parm,
and then John Lennon had the chicken parm, and then like 10 years later, he got
yeah.
So, do you know that he signed the Beatles dissolution papers at the Polynesian in Disney World?
What?
That's where he was staying.
What?
Yes.
You have to sign papers to break up a band?
Well, it's like a business.
I mean, it's a gajillion dollar.
At the Polynesian?
At the Polynesian, 1974.
Oh, my God. It's a good way to do it.
Yeah. Monorail stops right there. You're good.
All right. This is going to be a little bit of boring business for everyone. Monica, please don't hate me. I left the peanut butter balls at my house. I'm so sorry. Monica is my assistant who is the best person in the world because she puts up with all my stupid shit. We did a shoot yesterday where we recreated the Star Wars cantina, and we had Billy Dee Williams play Lando. And my girlfriend Chloe was in it, and she made these little – it's a long story. She made these little peanut butter balls, which we call boo balls. It's a long story, but I'll tell it. I was in Utah. I went to a bookstore. There was a place called Atticus's. They had these little things called Boo Radley bars in Park City.
Atticus's Boo Radley bars?
Boo Radley bars.
I love
it. So I brought one home. They were delicious.
Pie.
She said, I can make these. But so she made them, and instead of making them a square, she made them balls. And I go, we should call them Boo Radley balls. And she goes, no, they're boo balls.
It's like boo.
So would you – I'm so sorry, but can you – and then Billy Dee Williams had one, and he loved them so much, and he was so gracious that we were like, you can have all the ones she made, but I left them at home. I'm so sorry. Do you mind going home and picking up the – and giving Billy Dee Williams boo balls?
It'll be my pleasure.
I'm sorry.
But not his.
Please don't hate me. I'm sorry.
You know, there's another kind of thing you can do with peanut butter balls, right?
Yes.
It involves a dog.
Exactly. You know, I wanted to do
Skippy?
I was going to play a trick where I was trying to teach my dog to carry a peanut butter jar and drop it at my feet, so when we had guests over, he would just walk over with the peanut butter jar and drop it there. And I would just like say, not now. It's easy to do. Just every time you give him a snack, but he comes over with the peanut butter, drops it at your feet, and you're like, get out of there, guy. Go.
That's why they call you Peter Pan Fairley.
Yes.
What?
Whatever.
What? It wasn't the worst joke.
No, it wasn't. And I'm sorry for my reaction.
Was it too? It was two on the nose.
Yeah,
no, you're right.
It was two on the nose.
It's too much for the rich kid from Lowell. that's a little. It's not highbrow enough for him.
Way below his.
Yeah.
God.
Silver spoon.
Let me tell you guys. I'm from Belvedere, which is the nice part of Lowell. That's where I'm from.
Lowell has sections?
It's where the mill owners built their houses, overlooking the mills, so they could see that the smoke was still coming out and the work was getting done.
No, that's really
for the slave owners.
And in fairness to me, my backyard, we had a rock wall that was for Tewksbury. So Tewksbury was right behind mine.
That's actually supposed to be nice, Tewksbury.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just from Lowell. I'm sorry, everyone.
But what is the name of the place?
What, Tewksbury?
No, what's the name of the place that you... The
Belvedere.
Section? Oh, okay. So Belvedere Prices with a Tewksbury view.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. Yeah.
Tewksbury adjacent.
Tewksbury adjacent.
They have the sign entering Lowell and underneath it, it ain't Lawrence. You've seen those, right?
That's true.
At least it ain't Lawrence.
At least
Lawrence.
It ain't Lawrence. Yeah. We're across the Merrimack River.
That reminds me of when the NoHo Arts District started up in North Hollywood.
Oh, yeah.
Like they were trying to rebrand the
area. Used to just be North Hollywood.
Yeah. Then
which was not a great neighborhood.
No. And then they did NoHo was their whole thing. And I remember they had a banner going across the street that said, the NoHo Arts District. Look out, Melrose. It was just
so sad. Like if anyone had gone to Melrose and be like, hey, Melrose, you know, NoHo Spark, Melrose would be like, was that now?
I don't care. Melrose, I remember when I got out here, you know, 20 years ago, Melrose was just kind of kicking.
All right.
Is it?
Good, it's a good restaurant.
Yeah, a bunch of stuff that you don't really go to. A bunch of stores you never really step inside.
I remember Tommy Tang's. Do you remember that?
Not anymore. Yeah, he had the public access show.
That was fantastic.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was right next to the Groundlings.
Yeah.
Wait, from Tang Records?
Tommy Tang's was a Thai restaurant right next to the Groundlings.
I think Tang Records also had a store or office on...
I'll tell you about a Melrose development I'm excited about. The owner of the Foundry, Greenspan, Chef Greenspan, next door to the Foundry, he's building a grilled cheese store.
Yeah. Tired of these grilled cheese stores.
No, but he makes...
That is such a weird statement.
He makes a
there's
grilled
like three
cheese,
of them that have opened up in
he
the
makes
Foundry.
A grilled cheese and brisket that won him on Top Chef. So
wait, hold
and it's
on.
Delicious.
He's putting... That's just a melt, though. That's not a grilled cheese anymore.
Well, listen,
that's just a melt.
It doesn't matter.
Guys, I'm going to make an announcement later. I don't want to lose everybody. if I can interrupt.
Peter, I'm curious. Is this announcement have anything to do with grilled cheeses?
No, but... I'm trying to keep a few people listening.
Sorry.
They're talking about grilled cheese. Okay, switch
but
that,
that's clearly a melt.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I don't... make the rules of grilled cheese?
No, I'm actually, I wanted to stop by and just hang out. I do have several announcements to make, but also I wanted to tell my flying saucer story.
What?
Oh, you told me UFO. Yes. You said nothing about a flying saucer.
Well, what's the difference?
All right.
Well, there's just a couple
of differences. Well, one's
identified?
Okay, first of all, let me say this. If I hadn't seen what I saw and somebody thought, I wouldn't believe it. I honestly would not believe it. I'm telling you that going in with that, like
I love stories that start like this.
Yeah, it is. I don't like the ones when people start and they say, yeah, I was walking along and I saw a thing. It's like, wait a second. Whoa. You know, I'm telling you like this, every word I'm going to tell you is God's honest truth on my children. This is the truth as I saw it. Now I'm speculating what I saw.
Did this happen in Maine? Because that's where most of them happen.
No, it happened in Rhode Island.
Okay.
It happened in Rhode Island. Right. It happened like 30 years ago.
Oh.
But I really, you know, I tell, you know, obviously I've told friends and stuff like that, but I recently was telling somebody and they said, you got to tell that story. It's like, you know, I don't know why I haven't told it more, but and it makes more sense now, actually, this story, because 30 years ago I thought, well, you know, it could have been like a, you know, government thing or...
Sure.
Or something like that. There were all sorts of things it could have been. And now, 30 years later, I'm like, nah, that was a flying saucer.
You know?
Come on, man.
Yeah.
It was Halloween night. And I went to a party at University of Rhode Island with a friend of mine. And, you know, we went out, had a great time, went afterwards, had pizza, hung out. And we were driving home. It was about 2:30, 3 in the morning. We were driving down Route 295 in Rhode Island. There was nobody around. And we weren't talking. We were just listening to the radio, just cruising along. And we were on this long run of highway that went down like probably like 4 miles and then up like 4 miles. So you could see about 8 miles off in the distance and, you know, in a rural area. And there is a light coming down the highway flying. And it looks, you know, I'm not really thinking about it. I'm listening to music, thinking about whatever you think about. And as it gets bigger, I'm seeing this light is getting, you know, as it gets closer, it's getting bigger. I'm thinking, oh, that must, you know, in my head somewhere, I'm thinking there's a helicopter coming up the road. And then... As it gets closer and closer, I'm seeing more and more lights on it. I'm thinking, boy, that's a big helicopter. But again, I'm thinking of a million other things too. And we're not talking. We're just, you know, it's the end of the night, days off. And again, coming and coming, more and more lights, more and more lights. And I'm thinking, well, that must be like a big military helicopter or something. That's huge.
Sure, you know? Like Marine One, something.
But bigger, it's low. It's probably like it appears to be just, you know, a few hundred yards up. If that, it's hard to tell, you know, perspective. It's
were
nighttime.
They different colored lights or was it just?
Well, again, at this point, I'm just seeing a bunch of big lights kind of coming toward us slowly, like the rate a helicopter would be coming up the highway. You know, right down the highway, we're coming toward us. As it's approaching, I'm seeing more and more lights. And I looked, I leaned forward and my friend leaned forward at the exact same time. We look up and this is what we saw. It is a I'm telling you, it's right out of Star Wars, what we saw. It was a rectangle, a huge rectangle, and it appeared to go you know, again, it's hard perspective, but it appeared to be like a quarter mile long. Like, we went right under it. It lit us right up as it went over us. There were millions of lights on it, under it. A lot of them going like down the length, like back and forth, and the others going sideways, you know, millions of them in all ways. And then there were some, I remember, they were like a, it was like a fan of lights, like a going around a fan, like lots of those too, and multicolored lights all over the place. And it came over us, and I looked at my friend, and he said, "Are you allowed to swear on this?"
Yes.
No. He said, I look at my screen. Fucking fly a saucer. And I remember my legs went completely numb, like out of fear, out of complete fear. I thought, holy shit. I mean, this thing's going over us. I can see it in front of me and behind me in the rearview mirror. It's so big.
Holy shit.
And it's going along, and I just wanted to get the hell out of there. So I remember hitting the gas, and I could barely feel my leg, but I hit the gas. Taken off, and somebody had passed us about 5 minutes earlier, going very fast. In our, passed us. So I said, "Let's get that guy. Let's see if he saw this." Right. So we sped up. I had about another 10 miles to go till my exit. We never found another car. Dropped my friend off. All the way home, I was looking like around, just terrified. Got home, woke my parents up. I said, "It's a UFO." They said, "Go to bed." I said, "No, it's a UFO." They shut up and go to bed. You know, they didn't want to hear it. So next morning I got up. I was in college, and I got up to go to school. I went to Providence College, and I always listen to the same radio station every day. And that day I'm listening to the radio station, and between songs they come on, "If anybody has reported seeing an unidentified flying object, please call this number." So I wrote it down. I was like, "Oh, Jesus, a lot of people must have seen it." I figured, you know, state troopers and whoever's on that highway must have seen it, because it came right down the highway. So I got to school and went to a phone booth, called up. "Yeah, I saw it. I saw it last night, like, you know, 3 a.m. "Why? How many people saw it?" They said, "No, we're just taking a poll." I said, "Wait, come on. I just saw the thing last night. I saw it like 7 hours ago." They said, no, "We're just taking a poll." I said, "God." So for the next 2 weeks, I was telling everybody, "You're not going to believe this. I saw this." But again, there was part of me thinking, maybe it's some military aircraft of some kind that we don't know about that they're testing at night. I don't know. It's certainly nothing I ever heard of, but you never know.
Right.
Looking back now, this thing I've never heard of still, so it leads me more to believe it was something else. But so about 2 weeks later, I thought, who was that number I called? What was that? So I called it again. It was disconnected. And that's it. That's my UFO story.
Wow.
But,
what?
But by the way, I read a thing years later. They said the most sightings in the U.S. history ever were in the northeastern United States in the fall of 1975. Yeah. It was that year. And they said because there were lots of nuclear power plants being built throughout New England, as well as New London, the nuclear submarine base.
Yep.
We were only, you know, half hour from that. But boom.
Huh. And you never figured it out. And your friend, you ever talk to your friend about it?
How would he figure it out?
Yeah, he would always. I mean, there's nothing to figure out. It's just, you know, but I'm telling you, like, I still am skeptical of people when, like, people say, "I saw UFOs." "Oh, yeah, what'd you see?" They say, "Well, I saw these lights and they were kind of zigzagging in a way that a plane can't zigzag." I'm like, that's not a UFO. That might be a UFO, but it's not what I saw. I saw a spaceship over my car. I'm telling you, the God's honest truth, right over my car, came right down the highway. Halloween night.
That sounds like an ex-girlfriend of mine lived in rural Pennsylvania, in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, and had a very similar story. Rural road, driving down, middle of nowhere, just like, and then like a bunch of lights came over and then just like lit up the entire area she was in, and then just like we're gone.
Yeah, well, my wife's always like trying to, she's like, do you ever think maybe you were abducted? I said, no, I don't. She said, but maybe you were. Maybe something happened. You said your legs went numb. I said, yeah, they went numb out of fear. I remember literally not feeling my legs. Yeah. They were completely numb. So she said, you should go to a hypnotist and see what they can dredge up. So I went into a guy and, you know, paid $350, and he goes, okay, and he does the whole, you know, you are getting sleepy, the whole thing. He goes, okay, so are you hypnotized? And I said, no. He goes, come on, man, you're fighting it. Open up, buddy. Open up. I was like, well, I'm trying to open up. I'm doing it. He's like, go with me. Okay. Okay, so do you hypnotize? I said, no. He goes, look, you stop fighting me. You just got to go with it. You're fighting it. Something's fighting. Just go with it. So he does it again. Are you hypnotized? I said, okay. He says, okay, now you're walking down the thing. You're driving down the road. Okay. You hypnotize. Okay. He says, I said, yeah. He goes, you really hypnotize? I said, no. He said, he gave me the money back. Said, 3% of the people he can't put under. And he just gave me the $350.
Maybe they did something to your mind.
There's a really good Penn & Teller bullshit about hypnosis.
Hypnotize?
Hypnotize. The Biggie song, Hypnotize.
Yeah.
What was it?
It's not... It's just sort of a thing of people sort of willing to play along. It's not a real sort of thing. It's sort of like if you sort of let your inhibitions go, you'll start, you know, say and do things under suggestion, but there's no real hypnosis.
People just have weak minds.
Yeah, it's just like, I'll play along. I'll play.
Weak-minded fool and old Jedi mind trick.
Yeah, it's like playing an improv game with somebody.
Except, you know? I've seen people, like, when I was in college, there were some people who were just pathologically shy who I saw just get up there and start doing dances and go crazy.
Yeah, because they talked about that phenomenon, too, which is that sort of lets them, because they're on a stage and everyone's like, oh, well... You know, I'll go along with this, and then their brain sort of goes, might as well.
Now, my question is, what the UFO story was fantastic, but was that the big announcement?
No,
there's more.
The big announcement is, have you heard of this new thing called Twitter?
No,
Twitter. It's like a social thing. You know,
social. No. Don't like the sound of that.
I don't think it's going
to
work out.
People talking to everybody. Well, we're having a we have a Twitter account. We have 800 people on it now. Uh-huh. And it is a called Farrelly Bros, and we're having a contest.
Appropriate name.
We want people to send in on our Twitter account a hashtag #dumbto #dumbto #dumbto, and give us a vine of what they think is the most entertaining Dumb and Dumber reference they could come up with. And we are going to go through this. We're taking them all in. And the winner gets to be in a Dumb and Dumber 2, and they get a line.
That's amazing.
Holy shit.
You're telling me I don't have to donate to the Veronica Mars Kickstarter to be in this movie?
You just have to win a contest? You have to just send in a Vine. You know, you understand the Vine system on Twitter?
Is that another one of those social things?
Yeah. It's a social thing. Yes.
Don't like the sound of that.
Yeah. And no, it's fun. We're going to be announcing more details about it in the coming days. This is, I'm assuming... we're running a little later on this thing.
This will go up in about a week and a half.
Oh, shoot. The movie's already out.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
So did it do well? Good.
Yeah, no, that's why I'm doing it then, because right now they're fine-tuning, dotting the I's, crossing the T's, and by the time this runs, we're off to the races, and we're having this contest, and we want to get the funniest, most interesting Vine. My brother and I will be choosing our favorite. And you get to be in Dumb and Dumber 2 as well as have a line.
Has Dumb and Dumber 2 been announced as of yet?
Not as of us doing this.
But it will be announced next week.
It will be announced in the next couple days.
Oh,
that's why I told you last time I was here, I wanted to be here for you. And in fact, if this were going to be on today, I would just make the announcement and say, the hell with it. But
when's the announcement?
The announcement's going to be in the coming days.
It's going to be in the coming days.
Yes.
Let's just drop it Friday.
Huh? We could just drop it Friday.
We should put this up Friday.
Let me call you tomorrow. And confirm.
Call me tomorrow and confirm.
When does this go on Friday?
Well, this could go up whenever you want.
Whatever
Friday.
Time you'd like it. To
time you'd like.
Because I would expect everything to be signed, sealed, and delivered by Friday.
So then let's back up. Yeah. You're making Dumb and Dumber 2.
Correct.
That's great. Everyone's on.
But that's old news by the time people listen to this.
It might not be old news. We might be breaking the news.
That's true.
If there's a scene that involves podcasting at all, we'll be glad to
Dumb and Dumber T.O. Dumb and Dumber 2 T.O.
There was a good, you know, there's been a lot of press, and that's why one reason I wanted to come on here, because there's been a lot of press how Warner Brothers didn't want to make it.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Just in the gym and all that. And it's not. It's got nothing to do with that, in fact. Warner Brothers, it was made originally by New Line.
Mm-hmm.
And New Line now is owned by Warner Brothers. So it was never really a Warner Brothers thing. And we wanted to, long story short, we're going to another studio and there have been negotiations. That's what's held this thing up. Because we're negotiating with two different studios, Warner Brothers and New Line, about how to get it out of there.
Yeah.
And but there was a funny headline that said, you know, when it said it's not happening at Warner Brothers, it says, we don't have, we have no things. What's the line in the movie? I can't remember. We have no this.
We jobs.
Have no,
yeah.
We have no
lives.
Yeah, we have no jobs.
Heads are falling
yeah,
off.
Yeah, that was the headline. Yeah. That it's not going to happen. We have no jobs. We have no. What is the other thing? We have no jobs.
Friends?
No.
No what? No girlfriends?
Come on. We have no jobs.
Kyle, pull it up.
On it.
Yeah.
We'll get to it.
I haven't seen the movie in 20 years.
I haven't seen the movie in 10.
A long time.
It's good. You should check it out. It holds up.
Listen, if someone asked us what we said on a podcast a week ago, we'd be like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's huge news. So is Jim coming back?
Jim Carrey, Jeff Daniels,
Harlan.
I sent you the script, by the way.
I got it last night.
Okay, well, I was hoping you'd read it so I don't have to sit here and tell you how good it is, but I'm telling you it's a little masterpiece.
I'll read it before Friday.
It's so good. It's so good that it is. I think it makes the first one better.
It got. They said. Did you find it? Did you find it?
Yeah, we got no food. We got no jobs.
Our pets' heads are falling.
Our
pets' heads are
so that was the headline. It says Warner's passes on Dumb and Dumber. We got no food. Yeah, we got no jobs. Our pets' heads are falling off.
Yeah, they sent me the script last night, but the big E3 is going on right now.
Okay.
So that's taking up a lot of our.
Sounds like an excuse to me.
The great thing about it is this. I think I told you this on the last show. If I pitched you the story, you'd be like, you know, because if I pitched you the first story, it's about these guys. He finds a briefcase and they go to Aspen for this girl. You'd be like, what's the fucking movie? You know, it's character driven, you know. But yet this one, we took 2 years to work on this script. We didn't want to do it unless it was as good as the first one. And I just didn't want to tarnish the first one. And as you know, we didn't do Dumb and Dumberer, you know.
Yeah.
That was done by the
studio. That was tarnished on its own.
Yeah, which is one reason why they don't want to do this, because they already did that and it didn't work, and they think, I don't know about this. So, in any case, what was I saying?
The script, the story, the pitch.
Yeah, so this script, we took our time. I'm telling you, when you see Dumb and Dumber 2, Dumb and Dumber 1 is better, because you learn things in Dumb and Dumber 2 that you knew in Dumb and Dumber 1, but you hadn't put together. Like, for instance, I'll just tell you this, like, without giving away too much, you know, Harry always gets revenge. Gets revenge. You know, like, they're sitting in the hot tub and he says, you know, I had a girl, Freda Felcher, and, you know, and then she was fooling around. I never did find out who. And then later he said, I knew you were fooling around with her. Yeah. You know, that's why he went out with Mary, right? And just little things like, you know, they walk into the party and, Jim sprays him in the face and, you know, he hits him in the back of the legs with the cane, or the girl throws a little powder puff of snow.
He shoves her face
in
the snow.
He always gets revenge. And when you see the second one, it has a whole thing that you kind of don't see coming. And when you, at the end of it, you're like, oh my God, I just fell for the exact same thing.
Well, then when to production? When does it come out? Like, let's say everything.
We're not going to produce it. We're just going to pass the script around.
That's a great idea.
Yeah,
people act it out for themselves.
Well,
or have Jim and Jeff go to everyone's home.
Well, we're trying to save.
They're going
to
shoot it on Vine.
Trying to save money. So, yeah, we're just going to send the script, and it's a lot easier just to email it, you know, mass email.
PDF, or is it going to be in a final draft?
Just download the reader.
I'd rather you PDF it.
Yeah.
Or just put it in the body of the email.
I'm afraid if we don't PDF it, people will be making changes and then passing it on, and it will be bastardized.
Lock down the PDF. Yeah. Lock down it. Yeah.
No, it's going to – we're hopefully be shooting by August and in Atlanta.
Is that where they are now?
Next summer. No, it takes place in Rhode Island.
Okay.
It takes place, but you shoot in Atlanta because it's cheap.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Is it going to be – but it is Rhode Island.
No, it's Rhode Island. We start in Rhode Island and we pick up today, and we explain what they've been doing for the last, 18 years. You know everything that they've been up to. And very quickly, and then they get off, and they get off to the races. There's something that happens.
That's fantastic. Awesome.
Does the blind kid come back?
He does come back. He's a grown man now. He's in the beginning.
This is huge.
He still has the bird.
It's so rare that we actually get to break news. This is news
That's
breaking.
True, right.
So tomorrow.
Well, I guarantee you there'll be blog posts about it before we release the
podcast. I just tweeted about it.
So the second that it's okay, let me know.
I'm going to call
you.
When I was on your show last time, that's why I'm here. I said, when we do announce it, I will let you know first. I don't know. You see so many people.
Look at this. He fucking holds
true
to his words.
We just thought you were fucking around.
To be fair, I hadn't talked to Pete since the podcast. And a few weeks ago, I got a call from Pete. And he's like, look, Dumb and Dumber 2 is probably going to happen, and if it does, I want to come break it on the podcast because I said I would. And the last time I was in there, I'm like, that is a tremendous amount of integrity.
Well,
because this, you were on, like, I don't know, 8 months ago.
Yeah,
or
I just want to let you know because, you know, I don't want to be, you know, mouthing off. But in any case, no, just, you know, I can't stand that kind of guy. Like, you know, such just blah, fucking, blah, 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 blah.
You're such a Rhode Island guy.
Yeah.
I'll be mouthing off.
Yeah.
Well, this is great. This is great news, and I'm super excited. And you get your production in August, so that would, what, put you guys out
next
summer?
It's
going to
come out
maybe?
Next summer, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's summer, great.
It'll be exactly 20 years when it comes out.
Oh, my
really?
God.
Yeah, believe it or
Can
not.
Can you even wrap your mind around that?
No,
that's crazy.
I don't know how that happened.
That movie, I in my head, I always think, like, that was like 7 or 8 years ago.
I know.
2 decades.
Feels like it.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. 2 decades.
So what else? What do you want to talk about? Come on.
I guess that's it.
Bruins?
I
mean,
Bruins. Let's talk Bruins. I'm going to be in Chicago for Game 5. If it gets to Game 5, I'm going to try.
Are
and
you?
Go. Yeah.
Nice. Boston Bruins, that is.
Yeah,
not UCLA.
Yeah, I didn't know you were a hockey guy.
I enjoy all of the Boston sports. I've even been to a Revolution game.
Is that the WNBA?
Team.
Oh, okay.
Soccer team.
Well,
are you of the four major sports, which is your favorite?
Because
you've included hockey in your movies. You've, of course, Fever Pitch. You had the big time with the Red Sox there.
First of all, I love all sports. That's the truth. Like, I will watch anything. I will be up, like, for hours watching poker on ESPN. Like, I in fact, I did stay up till, like, 6 in the morning. They had the kid from Massachusetts, from Martha's Vineyard last year. He was in the finals, down to the last two. I was up till 6 in the morning. They didn't finish till 11 in the morning.
Wow.
But in any case...
Have you ever watched old poker where they didn't have the whole cam, like you couldn't see the cards? Remember how boring poker used to be on television? They used to not have the camera where you could see the cards.
I don't remember that. Just watching guys think.
It's literally, that's what it is.
Yeah, no,
I
wouldn't.
Yeah.
I like watching, knowing the thing.
Yeah, and the percentage odds and all that.
But as far as... I don't know how you can beat NFL football.
Sure.
You know... It's so enjoyable. I watch, you know, I've got DirecTV, got the, you know, package. Watch all
Red
the
Red Zone Channel.
I'm in three pools.
Oh.
Football pools.
You in the Ducey?
Huh?
Are you in the Ducey pool?
What's the Ducey?
Never mind. Forget it.
No.
We'll talk later.
But I'm in three pools, and I love that. It's you know, it's what college football could be that way if they had a good playoff system, which they're
going to
introduce.
I can't stand college football.
Well, because they you know, vote on who's the best team. But if there were, imagine an 8-team playoff or 16.
Oh, that'd be great.
It'd
be fantastic.
It'd be bigger than the NFL.
This is the most we've ever talked about sports on this podcast.
Oh, okay.
These two know nothing about it.
Okay.
We did talk a lot about soccer with Dominic Monaghan.
Sports? Ask me anything about sports. I'll tell you about it.
All right. Who is the major league leader in home runs all time?
Except for that question. I like going to games. I don't like watching them on TV as much, but I do love going to a football game. I love going to a baseball game, a soccer game.
I'm not a huge hockey fan, but I think the best sport to watch in the arena is hockey.
I can't imagine.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, it's the quickest. It's so much fun. It's crazy.
It's great.
It's insane.
You're never sweating. Drinking. You're never sweating. It's perfect.
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
I'm just excited about your movie.
Well, thanks.
I just want to see it. just want to see it. Just make it now.
Well, we're making it now.
Pretty soon.
We're
2 months.
As we speak, I have guys on the ground in Atlanta, you know.
Scouting?
Love
it.
Can I come by and say hi when I want? Because I'll be in Atlanta over the summer just for Walking Dead, probably.
You can do an entire show there if you'd like.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Let's go do a podcast there. Oh, my God.
No, we'll do a podcast.
That would be sensational.
We would love to.
Do you think Jim and Jeff would be on board for that?
I guarantee it. Those guys are, you know, they're both unbelievably good guys and totally open to it. And, you know, I've already made two movies with Jim, and he's a prince. He's fantastic. Couldn't be more fun.
All right, we'll do
that. And Jeff is, you know, so eager to do this. You know, he never gets to do this kind of thing.
Yeah, no, he's getting tired of delivering the news out of Aaron Sorkin's mouth.
Although I love that
show.
It's
a great show. Yeah.
It really is a fantastic show.
Did you guys see, like, that thing where it was a TMZ or something like that, but it was Jeff Daniels on a moped, like just on the street, and some guy was like, hey, what are you doing on a moped? Why aren't you driving a nice car? He's like, I'm getting ready for Dumb and Dumber 2.
Oh, yeah.
And this was, like, I think a couple of years ago before it was, like, really an official thing, but it was just, like, a joke he said back, and, like, it just endeared the hearts and minds of somebody.
This has been the toughest movie we've ever tried to make.
Really?
And they're all tough. I mean, it's never easy. It really isn't. I told you this before. No matter what, you know, it's just hard. I remember when, you know, when Kingpin came out, it didn't do well. Didn't open. And, you know, then, you know, this phone stops ringing and, you know, it takes a while until it comes out in video and people start finding it and they're like, oh, okay, maybe it's not so bad. But there was a feeling it was bad. And I get a phone call out of the blue from David Geffen. Calls me at home. He's like, hey, you know, David Geffen. I was like, really? What's up? He goes, I got to tell you something. He says, I have a movie night every Friday night. And or Saturday night, whatever. He says, and somebody this week brought Kingpin. And when they brought it, I was like, oh, crap. This is right after Kingpin came out and hadn't done well. He goes, someone brought it. I was like, oh, crap. No, don't do that. And he said, we're going to watch this movie. He said, I watched the movie. Loved the movie. It was fantastic. But you know what? If you had pitched me that movie, I never, ever would have done it. Never would have done it. So whatever you want to do next, I don't care what it is, I'm in. I
said, oh, wow. Shit.
Yeah. So I said, fantastic. So then the next one was something about Mary, and we had the friends of ours had written the script. We rewrote it and called him up. I sent him the script. He passed. Yeah. Yeah. It's just never easy. I'm telling you, it's never easy.
But you said the other thing before.
Yeah, but you said,
I'm sorry, I was busy buying Malibu.
I don't get this movie. I said, like, yeah, but you didn't get Kingpin. Remember? You didn't get it. Yeah, but I've read this. I just don't want to.
Peter David Geffen, we had another movie night, and I saw there's something about Mary, and it was fantastic.
Whatever you want next.
Whatever you want next.
And know that I don't mean that. When I say that, I mean the opposite.
Yeah, and I want you to read it, because
I will.
I don't want you to try to, and give it to these guys, too, right. If you want.
I would love to.
If you want. And I ask that, it stops there.
Yep.
Yeah. Not, sorry, Kyle. Get the fuck out.
Fuck you, Kyle.
Don't worry about him.
I don't trust Kyle.
No one does. No one does. That's the thing.
You can't trust that. A blonde beard, please.
Also, he hovers. He's just like.
You should see the amount of lights under his feet.
He's our UFO.
Yeah.
That's how we found him. I was driving late at night, and this behemoth of a man was flying over my car with lights on his tummy.
All the pearl snaps were twinkling in the night sky.
Lights on his tummy.
It's like it. He's like the spider thing from it. Don't look into his dead lights.
He had tummy lights.
That's my favorite new phrase. Lights
on his
tummy.
That's what he's giggling about over there. His tummy lights are
very
warm.
Funny.
Oh, well, this was
a dumb piece of shit.
We're back.
Yeah.
Where are you from?
Here, Los Angeles.
Where?
The Valley.
Oh, where?
Born in Van Nuys and then over the county line into Simi for most of the years.
So. High school, Simi?
Yeah.
Wow. Simi High.
Yeah.
Jeez.
2005.
Radiation.
2005?
2005.
No, yeah. You get some, do you deal with any of that radiation?
I didn't know that existed till college.
Oh, really?
It was one of those things I literally went home like, why is this never coming up?
Out of, yeah.
That explains the tummy lights.
Yeah. It's like, Jesus.
Excellent. Great.
Well, I'm very excited.
Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad you could do this. And so just call me tomorrow.
Yes. And again, the thing is going to be hashtag dumb2, that's T-O.
Dumb2,
on Farrelly Brothers, you know.
That's dumb with a B, kids.
Send a Vine. But we'll give more information on that.
Okay. D-U-M-B-T-T-O.
That's the dumb two. Like you misspelled dumb.
You use the wrong two. It's amazing.
So that's it.
Dumb two.
Yeah.
Dumb two.
Cool. Dumb two. Send a Vine. Have you guys ever sent Vines?
Yeah.
I don't think you can send a Vine to Vine.
You tweet them. You put out.
Well, you send them out into the world.
You send them into the world. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've Vined.
It's essentially video Twitter.
Yeah.
It's 6 seconds. But the way that the app works, people immediately started doing really fun, creative things with it. Because when you're recording, whenever your finger's on the screen, it's recording. Whenever you lift it off, it stops.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do all sorts of editing by lifting your finger off and putting your finger back on, but you can't go back.
That's the worst.
So if you fuck up a shot, like... Yeah. In second four, and you've got like five shots, and then you got to start all over again. So, but that kind of makes it fun and challenging. So when someone does something really cool with it, there's something special about that because they had to catch it all at that one. Yeah.
Well, we're gonna judge our favorite Vine, and that person will get a line.
That's beautiful.
And describe the rules of what they have to do one more time. They just recreate their favorite scene?
Something, you know, just something that about Dumb and Dumber that will make us smile or laugh. You know, something their favorite, you know, just come up, be creative, whatever you want to do.
And it's kind of genius because, you know, it's only going to be 6 seconds long. Yeah. So it's not, you're not going to get like a 2 hour. Yeah.
But we don't have time to go through all that. But by the way, like about a year ago, some guys from Canada did one. It wasn't a Vine. It was they did the scene where Jim comes home, you know, after
he gets robbed
by the lady. Yeah. And they redid the scene, these two guys. And it's uncanny. It is absolute genius. They had every angle, everything. The color was the same. The performances were incredible. They had the hair. It was unbelievably impressive. I recommend going on YouTube and finding that.
That's awesome. What I love about that scene is that it could easily just be in, like, Tenement. It could be just this, like, really sad scene from a Depression-era play.
Yeah.
That's what I love that scene.
Well, you know,
so
originally, when we were doing Dumb and Dumber, we were going to have the first act in black and white, you know, the whole opening of the movie. It was. Until they leave to go to Aspen, and as they're entering, they're leaving Rhode Island, it says entering Connecticut, everything was going to go into color. And they look at each other and say, we should have gotten the hell out of there a long time ago. And we actually were going to do that, but then we thought, Rhode Island won't like that. Yeah. These are our guys.
You know? I'm surprised. They don't have tax breaks where you can go shoot in Rhode Island? Probably not as good as Atlanta, huh?
No. Wow. They used to have good ones, but Rhode Island doesn't. Massachusetts has very good, but not as good as Atlanta. Georgia's 30%, and Massachusetts 25%.
Oh, wow.
Isn't Louisiana supposed to be pretty good right now?
They're excellent. But, you know, I mean, like, for instance, like, if the movie costs $50 million and they're giving, you know, 30% back, you know, you're doing the movie for $35 million instead of $50 million. But if they're giving 25, you know, it's another couple mil.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Wow. Shit.
I know it doesn't sound like a lot of money to you guys, but a couple of mil is
a fucking lol over here.
No.
Yeah, listen.
And
he sneezes diamonds.
We're on a podcast, so it's big money.
How many pancakes I could get at the Owl Diner?
I look around this studio. I know that a couple million bucks isn't it's
peanuts. It doesn't look like this studio costs $12 million, but when you really get down to it, it actually
This
really
soundproofing is carbon fiber.
Yeah,
it's carbon fiber. Yeah. This blanket back here was
the Shroud of Turin.
It was the Shroud of Turin.
We dyed it.
Where Jesus' face would have been, we put the Nerdist logo.
That's crazy.
I mean, it's just. I mean, it was expensive, but I thought it.
Oh,
really
don't touch
helped
it, Matt. It's going to disintegrate.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, well, fuck it. You know what? Another $8 million. We'll find.
Don't worry.
We'll find
about
one of the disciple
and this
shrouds.
This actually was a Michelangelo painting. We painted over.
No.
We just wanted the old stock canvas.
How much money did you guys
have? Well, he didn't know us then.
So
he didn't
much
know us, so he couldn't paint us.
But you could have just bought a blank canvas and
No, but I feel like if we wanted a Michelangelo of us, that's the closest we can get
it
to paint.
That's insane. That's
paint
so
over
wasteful.
It's cool that because we know it's
this
there.
Lamp came from Lamps Plus, but we just paid $3 million for fun.
We actually, bought the Lamps Plus and just took this out.
Yeah,
wow.
And then we burned the rest of the store.
Yeah, we burned them with their own lamps. We burned them with their own lamps.
Turned them all on.
We didn't get any poetic lamp justice.
We just put one of those halogen lamps from the 90s in and just put a piece of paper on top.
What's the story behind the space heater? I mean, that couldn't have been cheap.
Oh, well, that literally came from space.
Yeah. This is alien technology.
Really?
Well,
yeah.
It was found by Apollo 12. You know, it
was
brought in by Alan
there.
B. And we just took it. We
this
just took it in.
Fascinating.
It was expensive. Yeah. We had to actually buy the Smithsonian.
It has
for
a piece of Alan Shepard's DNA in it that powers it. So it's sentient.
Actually, most of Alan Shepard is in there.
It's sentient. Too.
Most of
so it's kind of it's
there.
Yeah.
I mean, it was. I think it was worth it. It's very
so
cool.
Anyway. Yes, it's a very expensive studio that we're in, and
we got back to space. We went full circle.
Hey.
So maybe this is a good time to wrap it up.
Grilled cheese in space.
Excellent.
Pete. Good to see you, man.
Good to see you.
And we'll definitely come down and do a. I might have to move my car so you can get out. So you guys,
guys, you are. I would love if you guys came down to.
No, we'll come down and do a podcast.
Done.
Yeah.
Done.
No, that would be a lot of fun.
It's gonna be great. Hello, August.
Am I behind
August
you?
In Atlanta.
Okay, so we done? Which car is yours down there?
I'm the old Lexus.
Oh, okay, yeah.
The Lexus next to my Volvo.
The only new car I ever had. Had it for 20 years now.
Nice.
Yeah, I can't get rid of it. It's. I remember when I got it, I thought, I'm never going to get another car. I love this car. And it's exactly like it was. My wife's always like, this happened. So I take it into the dealership, and I just don't want to get rid of the car. I love it. And the guy in there, one day I'm picking it up, he goes, hey, by the way, you took good care of this thing. I said, oh, thanks, man. Nice. I like the car. I don't do much. Get change the oil. He goes,
oh, yeah,
this is in really good shape.
Hey, Guillermo del Toro, stop by.
Hey!
Peter Farrelly.
Pleasure. How you doing?
Kyle.
Hey, guys. Good to see you, buddy. Good to see you.
Wow.
A pleasure, Guillermo.
What are you? He was waiting out front with the line, right?
I was. I want to read the comments. I want to know how it ends. Now you guys in?
So you done?
Yeah, we're on. We're recording.
Oh, you are recording?
But this is all part of the.
You want to pop on?
He just did. He's popping on now. He's
popping on right now.
You got to go sign books for an hour or be on the podcast? Yeah. Pick one.
drop me a fucking line so we can talk. Yeah,
I will drop you a line. I'll get your info from Gaston.
We'll go watch the house and have dinner.
I would love to. We'll see the rain room.
Rain room!
All right, cool.
Really? Rain room.
I just got to say,
we have a lot to talk
Pan's
about.
Pan's Labyrinth.
Thank you, man.
That blew my mind.
Well, your movies would.
Oh, I can't tell you. I don't see movies more than once, hardly ever. I've probably seen that movie 15 times. I always want to show people whenever they come over. But anyway,
I thank you for that, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's the 15 people that saw it.
16. Yeah. Thank you, man. Pleasure.
See you, guys.
Nice to see you. That was a lot of fun, guys. Yes, and I'm going to talk to you in the next day or two.
Oh, good to see you, man.
Hey, good to see you. So long.
That was exciting.
Yeah, right?
I know, that was great.
You guys are like old pals.
Well, yeah, we've seen him so many times.
How did that
happen?
Same with you, huh?
You're in the group.
Holy shit. All right,
Jonah, let's get down to it.
All right, okay. It's Matt and Jonah show. It's Matt and Jonah show. It's Matt and Jonah show. It's Matt and Jonah show.
Starring Jonah.
Hey guys, it's me and Jonah Ray. Whoa.
Puzzle Slang.
Matt.
Hey everybody, it's Matt.
Oh, hey Matt, what's going on?
Oh, not too much. You know, I'm just watching Chris go down and move his Jaguar.
Oh man, that's such an expensive car. I wish I could eat it.
Anyway, it's time for news.
Oh, look at this, everybody.
Oh, no. It looks like something's happened.
Oh, God. It looks like the NSA is watching everything we do.
Then, just remember, everybody, don't email your mistress.
They know everything.
Oh, no, it's time for news.
We just did news.
Oh, no.
Now over to Jonah for a movie review.
Oh, hey, everyone. I saw this one movie was rad. It was the one with the guy and the dude, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh, shit. And then everyone's like, wow. And everyone's like, oh, man. And then the credits roll. It's like the best thing ever. Okay, what about you, Matt? What's up with sports?
Well, let's check the look at the sports. And the Bruins and the Stanley Cup. I hope they win.
Everyone just has a good time.
And now with the entertainment beat, Jonah Ray.
Hey, everybody. So it turns out Miley Cyrus is crazy. Seth Green, he's short. Everybody, all the time. Dan Harmon coming back.
Jonah, tell me about Justin Bieber.
Justin Bieber, what can I not say about Justin Bieber? He's a little boy. Oh, he sings and he dances on Usher. Who knows? Am I right?
That's crazy.
Hey, Matt, let's go on and tell us about the motherfucking Seth Green.
The business report. This turns out buy high, buy low, sell high. Hey!
It's the Matt and Jonah
Now, this is the Matt and Joe Show after show.
Yo, what up? It's the Matt and Joe after show. Sup? Now that all the kitties are to bed, now it's time to talk with the real man.
Let's get real.
What's up, Matthias?
Yo. Let's do our Game of Thrones recap.
Check it out. The last episode, shit went down, but you know what I'm going to say?
Fuck.
Not enough titties.
Boom. All season, I would rate it a 5-titty out of 10-titty season.
Could have used more titties. Now,
Boom.
Now this is the after show talking about titties.
Girl, I like them titties, girl.
Yo, Matt, when was the last time you saw a big, bloody pair of titties?
Yo. This morning.
Whoa. Yo, boom. Yo, my girlfriend's on her monthly shame right now, so I can't really, see none of
now
that.
Now you gotta get in there, earn them red wings. What's up?
Yo, that's disgusting. My mother still has her period.
What? She hasn't hit menopause?
No, dog.
Well, good for her. She's vital. Word.
What was that voice? What was that weird voice you did?
I don't know, man. I just play.
Yeah, you sound like one of them nerds, bro.
I just play.
Oh, shit. Now it's time to bring on our first guest. He's a comic. His name is Kyle something. Kyle, come over here.
Kyle, get up on the mic. Welcome to the Jonah Matt After Show.
Yo,
shut the fuck up.
You don't talk like us. We talk like us. You're just our guest, son.
All right then. Sorry.
Shut the fuck up.
Yo.
What's your name?
It's nice try.
No, it's not. It's Kyle. Shut the fuck up, Kyle.
Boom. Boom. Drop the mic. Yeah.
Now, well, just to let you know, a little thing about Foley Art. My main man, Matthias, here, he didn't actually drop the mic. He just tapped it like an ass.
Boom. Sounds like I dropped it, right?
Oh, boom. Shit. Tap it like an ass.
Thank you for joining us, Kyle.
Yo, Kyle.
Always a pleasure, guys.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Now, it's time for the show to be over.
What?
Yeah.
We leaving?
Yeah, it's time for this one, the after show. Because after the show, it's the hotel lobby.
Yo, hotel lobby. I be picking them out. We be bringing them up.
See you guys later.
Bird.
People are just going to think that we don't know how to do anything without Chris.
I was really the real one.
I wanted to keep it going until he walked in because it would be funny if we just dropped it right when he walked back in.
I wish that he was here sooner. I also think there's a 70% chance he cuts the end of that out. Like, right?
What, the...
Our awesome shows?
No way.
You never know with him. Sometimes he cuts things up.
Podmassy or whatever the...
I would love to win a Podmassy.
Mm-hmm.
Just trash that Stitcher award and pick up a Podmassy.
Yeah. Who cares? That was really neat, though, that Guillermo del Toro
and Peter Farrelly met each other.
Yeah, but we actually should... that's weird that it's recorded that they met each other. Although we should probably say that for when Chris comes back and is like, isn't that crazy that they met each other?
I don't know if he's coming back. Because I feel like right now he's mingling out there.
Oh, it's possible.
Actually, I don't know. He had a red T-shirt on, yeah. So maybe he...
There he is.
Sorry, there were two cars blocking him in, and we had to find who they were.
It's okay.
It's all right. Don't worry. You missed the hell of a program.
Yeah. There was a couple sub shows.
We're still recording.
Nice.
Did you want us to stop?
I mean, no. We don't. We can keep going. You guys want to just take? We'll take the show over. Yeah, sure.
Because I'll probably snip out all the sports talk.
What did I say? I told you.
Oh, my God.
I told you.
What?
I told you. I just said that you cut stuff, and...
Well, I mean...
Hostful, fairly.
I don't think you should
hold
cut.
Hold on. I got a word I'm working on. Feral hostful.
Feral hostful?
Feral.
Pharaoh. Mia Farrow. Mm-hmm. Word association.
No, we're not doing that.
Woody Allen.
Those are names. Those aren't words.
Sun Yi. Clarinet. Vagina.
You went from Sun Yi to Clarinet? Clarinet?
She has to watch it. You know?
Clarinet.
Okay, I'll leave it in then. If that.
Well, whatever.
Too.
I mean, it's not like it's the most important thing. I just thought it was funny that we were just literally talking sports. And then...
I just like to like snip out that part.
I'm excited about that movie, though.
Oh, of course. Yeah, why not?
And what a fucking nice guy to like, well, I said I wondered if it was going to announce this on your podcast, so I came back to announce it.
Don't remember that.
He's one of those like nice, like, you know, one of those good New England guys.
Well, here we go.
You know, like me.
Just such, at his heart.
You know, just like myself.
Are there any other group of states that act like one state?
No. You're welcome.
No.
We started the country, so we figured let's all get together just so people know that.
Oh, you started this thing.
New England started it.
Great.
Welcome to New England.
Welcome to Myra Berg?
I'm in. I could do that.
He wishes Superman he was reference. Myra Berg.
Otis Berg?
Hey, Mr. Luthor.
Oh, you know what we never talked about? First of all, two things. I'm very disappointed in myself because Jesse Thorne was on this podcast and the whole time he was talking about donks, which are miniature donkeys. And what's another word for a miniature donkey?
Burrito.
Yes, we never brought that up.
Well, if I was here that day, I would have said that.
God damn it. It occurred to me. You remember the thing where something happens and you don't think about it, and then a week later you're waking up and go, and you, and for some reason it's just replaying in your head, and you go, why didn't I think of this thing then?
Yeah.
And it wasn't like that moment wasn't relevant to anything I was doing or thinking about at the time. It just popped up at that moment. I was like, oh my god, donks. He was talking about tiny donkeys. We should have said enjoy your donk.
Yeah, I always...
Too little, too late.
Yeah. I'm always like that. I'm always like, why didn't I invent Game of Thrones? I could make so much money. I, like, every time.
It's the... I forget who I was listening to talk about, like, you know, just, like, try, like, get over a writer's block or something like that. But they say, you know, don't feel bad when you can't break, like, an idea right away. Because it's not that your brain stops thinking about it. It just... It's done being at the forefront of your consciousness.
Yeah.
That's why, like, sometimes you're walking down the street and you go, oh, shit!
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of... good scientific data to back that kind of thing up, but yeah, no, I broke last night. I love the feeling when you break a script when you're like, oh, there you go, that's the way to do it. I had that last night with Jerry. It was the best.
That's why they say to, like, you know, don't feel afraid to just walk away, and don't feel like you have to just keep on trying to.
Yeah. Oh, walking away is that's why I keep the guitars in my office, because that's, I don't, like, let my brain do a different part of it. My brain.
Sometimes when you can't find an object that you've lost, where you go, I don't know where I put it. You let it go. And then later, it'll... Oh, right.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Rather than like, oh, I don't know where I put it.
Why don't people always check in the last place they would look?
Right? I mean, of course.
Because then I'll... Because then by definition, it becomes the first place that they will look.
But then they say it's always the last place you look.
I just got a weird text from my dad. So, Rebecca, my stepmom, bonus mom...
Love it.
Has jury duty and got off because it was a civil suit small business against a bank. They asked if anyone had ever been sued. She raised her hand, and one of the questions was, what does your husband do for a living? When she said he was a pro bowler, it got the biggest laugh in civil court.
Jesus.
They could use a laugh.
You're right. You're not wrong.
Civil court. This is the other thing that we should have talked about ages ago. Now, I know how much you enjoy Kitchen Nightmares. I've never watched an episode of Kitchen Nightmares, but of course, Reddit went crazy over Amy's Baking Company. And so while Chloe and I were in London, she brought it up on her laptop. Someone had put it up on the YouTubes, and so we watched. and it flew by. It was a fucking phenomenal episode.
It's a great show.
The Amy's Baking Company episode was incredible, because it was, of course, it's the one time that he just couldn't help someone.
I'll tell you what. Amy's Baking Company, very, very, very good episode. I feel like the Sebastian's episode from season 1, episode 6, which is on Netflix right now. If you watch that episode, that's my favorite episode.
Ah, now I don't know what you're talking about.
That's my favorite episode. But anyway, Amy's Baking Company, here's the thing. He's walked out before, but he's always come back. That's the thing.
I thought he was supposed to be a dick. He was kind of not a dick on the show.
He's not a dick. He's not a dick. Everyone just thinks he's a dick because he yells.
Oh.
But he's not a dick. Like, if
the producer on the show tells him to yell and then walk out and come back.
You know, listen, I know how reality television shows work. Like, it can be edited in any sort of way, but it really did seem like he was trying to help them.
He always is trying to help them. And sometimes they're just doing stuff that's so mind-boggling that he just has no... In his brain, he immediately starts yelling.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he came up in the kitchens in France and stuff, in the brigades there, where the chefs were crazy and would yell and stuff. So obviously, I mean, that's how people hear you in a kitchen. You got to yell over everything.
Well, maybe they were just yelling because it was a different language, and sometimes when someone doesn't understand the language you're speaking and you yell at them.
No. I mean, a lot of chefs yell.
I'm saying put the lobster in the bucket! Like, they even like talking louder is going to make it.
Yeah, right. No, but yeah, so that Amy's Baking Company, by the way, they were so funny. That woman, her eyes... Craziest eyes I've ever seen.
Those are pretty crazy eyes. And so we went to, we're just like out of curiosity, right after we watched the episode, which was really only a day after it aired. We're like, let's just see what their Yelp reviews are like. And it was literally already like 1,500 reviews of people just making fun of them.
Yeah.
Can a business like that survive after that kind of an assault?
I think that business will thrive.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
Amy's Baking Company is a restaurant in Arizona, and they had a lot of complaints. From people and staff, and they had gone through, like, how many people had they gone through in a year? It was like...
Oh, it was over 100,
It was
right?
over 100 servers they had gone through.
Jeez.
Because one of the things that... well, not only are they, like... They're not... According to this episode, They're not very nice to their staff. They yell at the staff a lot. They won't let anyone else operate the ordering system.
The POS machine.
So it's basically like everything's bottlenecked. So it takes forever for people to get their food. The food's cold, you know, according to the episode, food's cold a lot of time. And the most fucked up thing they do is that it's a husband and wife. And the wife is... She's like, she says, she starts off a little normal, and then she starts saying a lot of really crazy things, and then she starts talking about the Lord. Mm. And her husband is an older guy who, not shadily at all, did something that they didn't quite touch on in Vegas.
They met in Las Vegas.
And then apparently, when you start digging a little further, allegedly there was a identity theft sort of a thing that she was involved
in. Not allegedly,
in.
She was convicted for that. Okay. You don't have to say allegedly
all right.
for that.
And so here the shitty part is that the husband who runs the machine and she cooks all the food, he keeps all the servers' tips.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
He keeps all the servers' tips.
Yeah.
And so it's that moment where Gordon Ramsay comes out into the restaurant. He's like, I just want everyone to know that this man keeps all the tips that you're leaving to the servers. You need to be aware of that. And they're like, schwa? But the worst part is that they're basically – I have no proof of this. It feels like there's some other business happening that's not quite – that you're not quite aware of because
– You know, that's possible.
Because they're selling – they're basically selling frozen food and making it seem like it – right? Wasn't that the kind of the weird – thing behind it?
Well, I mean, yeah, no, not necessarily, because okay. I mean, essentially it was the ravioli he had that was a pre-cooked thing that was frozen, but you know, that happens at restaurants from time to time. But the thing of that was, like, they were touting everything as homemade, but it wasn't. Everything wasn't homemade. I think that it came out that the desserts weren't even hers.
Oh, right.
Yeah, like the desserts, which he liked the desserts. He was like, these are great. These are amazing. I mean, you know, good job on these desserts. But I think it came out later that they weren't even hers. They would, like, buy them from somewhere else.
And she did not like any criticism.
No criticism whatsoever.
If you said, this is a little cold, it was like it would send her into a rampage.
Yeah, and the night before, they go to shoot B-roll the night before Ramsay gets there.
Oh, so, do you know backstory on this?
Yeah, well, no, I'm just telling you, like, in the episode.
One of the servers did an AMA and then ended up deleting everything because she didn't want to get sued.
Oh, yeah. Well, I read it before it got deleted. But so they go to do B-roll the night before. It's a crazy operation. They got to set up cameras in the restaurant and all that stuff. They go to do B-roll of, like, how the business runs on its own, you know? And that night, somebody complained about something. Maybe it was, like, undercooked steak or something like that, or cold food or something like that. And the husband gets so angry that they just start verbally yelling at each other. And the husband says, you're not allowed in this restaurant, and, like, picks him up and, like, physically, like, removes him from the restaurant.
Oh, my God.
So much so that the cops have to get called.
Vegas style.
Yeah, and this is all, like, they're just shooting B-roll. So, like, they have this footage to show of, like, this is happening.
Now, why do you think they wouldn't try to control themselves better with cameras all over the place?
Maybe they were controlling themselves better.
Why does...
They could be even crazier when there aren't cameras there.
I mean, I wonder, you know, with the reality shows, like, at what point do people let their guard down? And or at what point are you like, well, I do have a tendency to be a little unreasonable sometimes, so I'm going to put on my best behavior.
Yeah.
How long do they shoot, though? Do they have the cameras up at a restaurant like that? Do you have any idea?
Well, I think it's like 4 or 5 days as far as a kitchen night.
So they couldn't even keep it together for a couple days.
No, they couldn't even keep it together for one night when they're in there before.
Yeah.
Because
he started eating the food. He didn't like any of the food.
The one thing they did correctly, though, was they had a beautifully clean and organized kitchen. Everything was dated, everything was wrapped correctly, all that stuff. So Ramsay goes into the kitchen. Usually it's a mess, and you're like, why the fuck don't these people clean their kitchen before Ramsay shows up? But he goes in there, he's like, oh, this is amazing, it's immaculate,
listen,
great
job.
If
you were doing an in-depth psychological profile, there may have been a little, there was probably someone in this woman's life who was like, this is not good enough, this is not good enough, this is not good enough, which would, you know, probably explain the OCD with all of the individual packaging of everything in the kitchen, but then also, you know... The one server said, like, oh, what did she say that got her fired? It was something really silly. Like,
it was some very innocuous comment. Oh, are you sure?
Oh, yes. She's like, it's cooked. And she was like, are you sure? You're mouthing off. Get out. Like,
No. It wasn't even, it's cooked. It was, this is table 18. And she goes, are you sure? That's how she said it. and then she got fired right there.
Wow. Someone put up a picture of Amy with one of her eyes just constantly twitching. It's just a little animated GIF, just one eye just twitching off to the side. I mean, it was literally. Funny. You should watch it. It's actually.
No, it sounds really good.
That particular episode. It's great. We started a thing on Feeb now. We're doing Feeb caps of every Kitchen Nightmares episode, starting with episode one. So enjoy that, everyone. Next time Mojo and I sit down together. Episode one, season one of Kitchen Nightmares, Feeb Cap.
Well done.
Yeah, you're welcome.
World, I feel like the world needed that. But I'm telling you and Chloe, next time you're in front of a
Sebastian's
Netflix. Yeah, next time.
Season one.
Yeah, it's the greatest thing in the world.
Okay.
He's so detached from reality. He's got this pizza place up in Burbank. And everyone that works in the restaurant is an actor or an actress. Like, they want to be an actor or an actress, so no one's really committed to actually doing their job. And he's, like, talking about franchising the restaurant and having Sebastians all over the world. And he's like, you can't, and Ramsay just yells at him and goes, you haven't even got one right. Don't talk about two. It's just, like, it's so good. And that's when he says, and it's in the pre-credit roll, so I'm not ruining anything, but he actually takes him outside. They get in a huge fight, blah, blah, blah. And Ramsay takes him outside and goes, I've never met anybody I believe in less than you.
Oh shit!
it's my favorite. It's the best. I think everybody should watch that episode.
We gotta get him on the episode.
I want to get him on the podcast. I'm writing a thing for him right now.
He's following both of us.
Yep.
But he follows a lot of people.
Yeah, he follows like 7,000.
Yeah,
but you know, if you look at the relative numbers, though, you know, he's got a million followers. 7,000.
Yeah, no, he follows.
Listen,
a lot,
it's
a lot
nothing.
Of people.
It's not whatever. What are you gonna do?
I don't know.
All right.
I did enjoy it, though. So I do really kind of, I started to, you know, I almost, as I was watching it, I was almost like, I think I'm really starting to understand Matthew. I was watching it as like.
I was getting tweets about that because I might have been on vacation or something that day that it happened. So people are tweeting me like, what'd you think of Amy's Baking Company? What'd you think? Oh my God. And I was like, what? I don't know what you're talking about. That was a good throw, but.
I just tried to throw a. The water came in one of those things that we should clip so dolphins don't get their beaks caught in.
Yeah, that happens all the time.
The little Lisa slurry. Thank you, Jonah.
You're welcome.
Strong. Look at him. Oh, my God.
This is a very eventful episode.
I cannot wait for you to hear and then cut out the Jonah and Matt show.
And also the Jonah and Matt post show.
The Jonah and Matt after show. It was really great.
I'll leave it in, probably.
You got to listen to it. It's really our crowning achievement.
Did you want a Feeb cap for it?
You want a Feeb cap? Because Mojo and I will talk about it.
Yeah, will you give us a Feeb cap?
Yeah, no problem.
And then after the Feeb cap, will you go write a song about it and take it on Jonah Radio?
Yeah.
Yes.
And then I'll hear that, and then I'll feel really weird about it, so then I'll go on Pete's podcast. Which will be so weird that someone will make a video game that we go and talk about it on Indoor Kids. And then Kamal and Emily and I will have a threesome and then go on Sandra's podcast.
Yeah.
And then you'll talk about making it with Ricky Lindholm.
She's not doing it anymore. She took a break.
Oh, good for her. She's busy with a lot of other things.
She took a break, and then we'll write a script about it and put it on Ben Blacker's podcast.
I love it. And then maybe you guys go out and get dinner later with Doug and
Doug
Karen.
Doug and Karen. Yeah, we'll go dine with Doug and Karen.
And Matt Pronger. All right.
Or Alton Brown, who's going to be doing a podcast for us.
We don't have that yet. So
or Kurt Braunohler, or yep. The Legacy Hour. Oh, you can talk about the music from the video game on the Legacy Music
Beautiful.
Hour.
Or Chewing It. We can put it on Chewing It.
That's and then, you know, throw your inhibitions aside and kick it Mary Lynn style.
We could kick it Mary Lynn style. That's right. And then one of us needs to become a woman, and then we'll go on JV Club.
This is really working out for everybody.
I just want to find a way to trickle through all of the podcasts in the network. And then when I lose my mind, and because I try to do that, then I'll go on Marin's podcast, and then he can yell at me.
I love it.
It's a rock-solid plan.
See the last episode of Marin with
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, it's good.
I haven't seen it yet. But there is a Marin panel at the Paley Center this weekend. So, enjoy that.
Oh, man. I could have moderated that. That would have been really fun.
That would have been hilarious. If you moderated
but
that.
Then I wouldn't have told him until he showed up. What are you doing here? I'm moderating your panel.
How much are they paying you for that? I love Mark.
Who got you that gig? No, I'm going to moderate
it
myself.
I love it.
He could
recommend people listen to his episode with John Fogerty and his episode with Huey Lewis. Great.
Yeah, he said the Huey Lewis episode was really fun.
Yeah. Anyway.
It's good. Well, what are you kids up to this weekend?
I'm going to Vegas this weekend for Vegas Comic Con.
What about you?
I don't know. I don't think I'm doing anything.
You just started exercising again.
I did. I went yesterday. I'm going tomorrow.
Nice. 3 days a week?
I'm going to do 2 days with a trainer, and then on those
Not
days,
just any trainer.
Tom Dieters.
My guy Tom. Who loves Jonah.
I know a trainer, too. All right. She's named Kiki, and she's great. So yeah. If Tom's ever busy.
No, I don't want to work out with your girlfriend, Matt.
Why? She's great.
I just don't want to work out with your girlfriend.
Why? That's weird about that. I don't understand.
I'd rather work out with Chris's boyfriend.
See, that's reasonable.
Touche.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I did a lot of dancing for Course of the Force. That was fun.
Dancing.
A lot of good
dancing lessons.
A lot of good Course of the Force videos.
The videos are fucking great. Yours is the one with Kumail and Seth Green is great.
Yeah.
And the one with you and Rooker and CM Punk is great. And then a surprise. I won't give it away.
Yep.
That one's really great. And then we just shot a special video. We recreated the cantina at our studio and had 18 creatures. This guy Tom Spina made 18
phenomenal.
Like 18 of his creatures. So we recreated the cantina and did this whole thing with Billy Dee Williams. And so there's a lot of really cool Course of the Force videos coming up.
I just wrote one today that got approved by Lucas with R2-D2 and Chris as a hologram. Look for that.
Very excited to be a hologram.
Yep, it's going to be good. We said, what can we do with Chris that makes him not have to go anywhere but just put a green wall up?
Genius. See? Leia didn't have to go to Tatooine.
That's right. It's going to be good. Good stuff. Good stuff happening.
Perfect. All right, good.
Come see us at Comic-Con.
Did we ever mention Kings of Summer and how good it is?
You talked about it, but now I can't remember if you talked about it on a podcast or you just talked about it in life.
It's in wide release now.
That's Jordan's movie, right?
Yeah, Jordan Vogt Roberts' movie. It's really, really, really good.
Jordan directed a mashup.
Yes.
And that turned out great.
Yeah, and it's just a really good movie. I feel that it's going to be like, you know, the Stand By Me, the time for these kids.
Yeah, so Nick Offerman's in it. Nick Offerman is in it.
Kumail's in it. Thomas Middleditch. Marilyn Ricegub. Did I say Nick Offerman already?
Yeah.
Hannibal Buress.
Did we ever have him on the podcast?
Did we
ever do a Nick Offerman podcast? And I missed it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I never know. I forget who I didn't.
Well, you could subscribe just to see who's on.
No, I subscribe. I just don't look at the page.
You just stopped refreshing ages ago.
let me look and see what I did this week. Oh, yeah. That was 7 months ago. Holy shit, that's just coming out now?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's going to be awkward when we're talking about how great Attack of the Clones is going to be.
from that podcast we did.
While Jonah was working at the theater.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Right.
Eventful podcast.
Good job.
Peter Farrelly announced Dumb and Dumber 2.
The premiere of the Jonah and Matt after show.
Well, the Jonah and Matt show and then the premiere also of the
Yeah, that,
after
this
show.
Is the episode where all that got cut out. The episode.
It's going to happen. Yeah. I know it.
This episode.
All we talked about was Sega Master System and Atari.
I
think we literally talked about less than that, like nothing.
That was what was great about it.
Yeah,
it's gonna be fucking hated so much.
I can't wait.
And then what's gonna make me even more like, I'm gonna be fine with people hating it. What I'm gonna hate is people going, "It was actually really good. That should be a podcast." They're like, "You don't know what entertainment is, then."
You get mad at them for liking your thing.
That's me.
That's Jonah. great.
Good do you want to just do a quick after show and have Chris on?
I can't remember. It was the after show, the sexy one.
We should just do an after show and have Chris on.
I don't know if I have the energy.
Yeah, you're right.
No, do it. I'll come in.
All right.
The Matt and Jonah Show. The Matt and Jonah Show. The Matt and Jonah Show. Hey, the Matt and Jonah Show.
Hey, Jonah, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, great. Well, yeah, guess what? We have a guest.
Oh, no.
We have a guest.
Our second guest ever.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome
Chris Hardwick.
Hey, Chris.
Hey guys.
Thanks for coming on our show. This is so exciting.
First of all, I want to say that I'm very excited to hear you using your off-air voices.
It's more about us because we take a back seat to what's going on with you. What about us? You know, people want to know, so that's pretty much what it is.
How are you?
How's it going?
Good. That's great.
Time for Chris Hardwick News.
Chris Hardwick News. Looks like Chris is going to be shooting The Talking Dead pretty soon again, and it's coming back for season 5. That's good. Hey, happy birthday.
Thanks. Yeah, that was great. That was the news. I'm Chris Hardwick.
Hooray! That was the Matt Jonah Show. Matt Jonah Show. Hey, stay tuned for the Matt Jonah After Show.
Yeah, what up?
Yo.
This is the Matt Jonah After Show.
Pussy Talking Jonah?
Yo, shit, it's yeah. After Dark, son.
Yeah, this is Pussy Talking Jonah with my main man, Matthias.
Yo, yo, yo. So, Chris, I hear you've been hitting that puss lately.
You hitting that puss, Chris?
I've not done any puss hitting, please.
Show him what it sounds like. My main man's great at Foley art. Yeah, that's what it sounds like to hit a puss.
Yo.
It sounded like you just like squashed a beetle.
A little bit of backstory. The puss we're referring to is a dead cat.
The shit, we should have been more run over that. You ever run over that in your Jaguar? Yeah. You just hit a dead. You can't swerve in time. It's already dead. Why not just go over it, son?
Oh, shit.
Who you got calling?
Who's calling,
yo?
Are
you going to be a guest on our show?
Yeah.
Well, it's my girlfriend, Chloe.
Yo, shit. A girl, dog, an actual girl. Oh, shit.
What do we do?
Oh, God.
Yo. Cool.
Wait, I'm sorry. Did you say it was a girl?
So,
yeah.
Oh my god!
Yo! She got some of them tits. Oh my god!
Hey, sweetie, you're on the podcast right now.
No, she ain't on no podcast. No,
she's on the Matt and Jonah After Show.
Oh my god, why am I on the podcast? I'm already enough in the intro.
Whoa, this girl has the voice of the internet.
Well, the guys here were just talking about puss, and then you happened to call.
Yo, Chloe, tell me what it's like when Chris hits that puss.
Yo, Matt. Yo, my main man Matthias, he's rude. He ain't no gentleman.
I heard that one time.
Tell us about how he makes love to y'all's
honey,
titties.
You don't have to tell them how I hit that puss.
Oh, is that what they're asking? I don't understand that.
Sir. Yes, a lot of people have that problem.
It's kind of a girl thing,
You know, it's just for cool dudes.
Yeah, you wouldn't understand.
So the question is how he hits that puss?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't make it weird, Chloe.
Just come on out with
it. I would say he hits it generously.
Oh, y'all. Good man, dog.
And expertly.
Oh, big C with the expert C. What's up? The C was for cock that last time.
Yeah. No, I picked it up. Y'all like it.
I'm just letting him know.
I will let you guys, I'll leave you guys to your puss talk.
Puss talk, cool.
No, that's the after show.
If you want to call me back when you're done.
Yes, I will call you right back. We'll be done in a couple minutes.
That's what he thinks.
Yeah.
Okay, bye, sweetie.
Yo,
thanks for letting us talk to a real girl, Chris.
Yeah, that was the first girl we've ever had on this show. You know who we had on as our first guest? Mm. Fucking piece of shit named Kyle something.
Kyle,
you
know, shut the fuck up.
It's funny. I think we might all be ghosts because I think we died when the show went off the rails.
You asked for it, Chris. You wanted to hear it. You wanted to hear this.
I'll never
want anything again.
Yo.
Matthias on the mic.
All right, so now let's Inception style end each show. So now we're at the deepest level of the show.
Yo.
I think we have to. So you just do your sign off.
Yo,
thanks for kicking it. After.
Yeah, enjoy your poon-rito.
Hit the puss later.
Okay, now jump up to the after show. Okay, now we're in the regular show.
Oh, cool, man.
All right, cool, sweet. Enjoy
your burrito. Oh, Jesus.
Now we're in real life. See you guys later.
All right, see you guys later. We're gonna go.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
Behind every successful business is a story, and some of them might surprise you. Like how Chobani's first yogurt factory was discovered on a piece of junk mail, or how the founder of the multi-million dollar cosmetics brand Drunk Elephant was told by everyone, including her own mother, that the name sounded like a dive bar. I'm Guy Raz, and on my show How I Built This, I talk to founders behind the world's biggest companies and brands to learn the real stories of how they built them. In each episode, you'll hear entrepreneurs share moments of doubt and failure and talk about how they were able to overcome them on their way to the top. How I Built This is like a masterclass in innovation and creativity, a how-to guide for navigating life's challenges from the people who've done it all. Follow How I Built This on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to How I Built This early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.